Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
After the game on Sunday, David and several of his teammates attended a sponsorship dinner at about 11:30. David reported to me, as he said, he reported to me at about 11:30 as some of his teammates were walking to meet their transportation location. He simply fell and injured his thumb. He met with medical staff yesterday morning early, and the doctors, they called me, and really it was pretty apparent that he needed to have something done right away. The internal specifics that we'll keep that way of location and things that they were doing, so I'm not trying to be vague in that regard, just wanted to be out in front of reporting the facts as they are.
Meet the defendant who has thumbed his nose at paying the damages. That's Don Sweeney from yesterday.
Sir, do you represent yourself? Yeah. Is this with you to your left? Thank you. Will you please approach the bench, sir?
Right. Bailiff? Bailiff? 617-779-0985. Let's get back to your calls. Ryan's in the car today on the Celtics. Hi, Ryan.
Hey.
Hey.
This whole thing about Kyrie being gone and Gordon Hayward being, you know, the team being better without Kyrie, I don't think it has anything to do with Kyrie, it being Kyrie personal. I think there's just too much talent. If you look at Kyrie's numbers without Gordon there, I think you'll see something of the same result. There's just too much talent. Someone's got to go. Whoever it is, whether it's Kyrie, whether it's Gordon, whoever the hell it is, someone's just got to go.
It's not going to be Gordon.
Why can Golden State function with all the talent that they have? Why can't you have excessive amounts of talent to where everybody accepts the type of role to what they need to do?
You can have excessive amounts of superstar talent. Gordon Hayward's not really a superstar. Kyrie's a superstar. Everyone else isn't there yet. Tatum might get there, but with all the superstar talent, I think it'll work. Not these tier two guys.
I understand. I understand that. But if you're like Jason Tatum, or say you're Jaylen Brown, you lived it last year. You know you're one game away from going to the damn finals. You took that guy seven games. It took that guy seven games, best player in the world, to beat you. And you're looking around like, it's just us young guys.
It's not that there's too much talent. It's a bad argument.
I agree. Because there's Golden State who could function.
Yeah, you could say it's not the right mix, that there's redundancy within the roster. You could say that, but you can't say that there's too much talent.
You get too many of the same type of players.
Senseless.
You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can say, oh, there are guys that do too many similar things.
Like Draymond Green does his thing there. You know, Durant does his thing. You got a guy that can facilitate and also back off and hit a shot anytime you need it. Like they have a damn good mix. Damn good mix. You pretty much have three or four of the same type of players.
How different are Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward?
Like, very truly different.
Are they, though?
I think so. Yeah. I can't see Hayward going to the bucket or taking over a game the way Tatum potentially could when he feels it.
Hayward did it all the time when he was in Utah.
I'm saying now, the Gordon Hayward
of now.
I'm talking
about what they're supposed to be.
Okay.
Though.
All right, well, that's different. You know, that's like on black and white on paper. You know, it looks great on paper.
Who is it, Jim, that you, when they acquired Gordon Hayward, who is it that you wanted to put on the bench right away? You said, what's the point of this?
Tatum.
Was it Tatum?
It's Tatum.
I think it was Tatum.
Yeah, right? It was Tatum.
Yeah, it was Tatum. I remember that. Yeah.
That was one of the first things that you said when that all happened. You're like, what are you going to do with Tatum now? Where are you going to put him? You got to put him on the bench.
You have him
come off the bench. Where are you going to put both of them on the floor at the same time?
That wasn't when they first got him. That was the comeback. That was this season, the beginning of this season.
Sorry.
Yeah. Because we didn't know what Tatum was when he was a rookie.
Right. You're right. But either way, the first time that he was going to really actually play and where they had guys with some talent on this team. So you can say, listen, they've got guys that do this, that do a lot of the similar things. Whereas if you look at Golden State, don't they sort of have a lot of different types of players? Between Curry, Durant.
Yeah.
Well, they have three lights-out shooters in Curry, Thompson, and Durant. Three of the best shooters of all time.
Right, but they're not the same player. Like, Kevin Durant and Steph Curry are not the same type, not similar players.
Yeah. 11:20 for Van Noy, Beetle. Okay, right. I'm going to give you that message right now.
Okay, great.
Kyle Van Noy will join the Kyle Van Noy show at 11:20.
Good. John is in Gardner. John.
How you doing, guys?
Hey!
I'm calling about... I want to talk about Marcus Morris.
Yep.
I think you guys gave him a little too much good. What I want to say
they
is...
give him some bad.
Guy, he called everybody out, everybody on the team. He's in a contract year, so of course he wants his numbers to look fairly decent. When he went after Jaylen Brown, I lost all respect for the guy. You know, these guys are not all grown men. Some of them are young men, and they need to be brought along and their confidence built, not pushing them around on national TV.
Well, and of anybody on that roster, don't you think Marcus Morris is the one that really has an edge? A little crazy? Did we just get done talking about his brother?
You know what? We have a breaking news story in the NFL.
Is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Not Patriots related, but a significant move, though.
Adam Schefter, verified. Blue check mark.
Blue check mark.
Breaking. Baltimore has agreement in principle to trade former Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco to the Broncos.
Ooh.
Trade cannot be processed until the NFL League new year begins Wednesday, March 13th. Teams prohibited from commenting on deal or terms surrounding.
Can I give you my Patriots angle now? Two things have happened since we yesterday spoke about the possibility of the Patriots drafting Kyler Murray. One thing happened yesterday, and that is the Cardinals and their new head coach, Cliff, coming out and saying publicly that Josh Rosen is their guy, and they are sticking with Josh Rosen. Yeah. They will work with Josh Rosen. They will commit to him, and he is their guy. That happened yesterday after we got off the air. That's one domino in terms of taking a top 10 team out of the mix for drafting Kyler Murray. The other question I had was how many teams really need a quarterback and are in need? And at the top of my list, when I said teams that need a quarterback, I said the Denver Broncos are that team. They are the number one team right now. That they need a guy. They need a quarterback. They've now made a trade for Joe Flacco.
Miami's licking their chops right now because they're sitting there at 13 thinking this guy's going to fall to us at 13. This goes to show you that the quarterback class is not rated that highly because these type of moves don't get done. If you see a guy sitting there that you think you could reach in the top 10.
So this is what I'm saying, though. That's two teams that are now out of the, we're in the hunt for a quarterback. Yeah. By the way, the Giants, who we assume.
Do you believe Kingsbury?
Yes.
Former college coach?
Yeah.
I don't believe a former college coach. No.
I do. No, I do.
But all he knows is lying.
Their GM effed up so bad that I think he made him do it because I screwed up with the coach. Not only can I not double down, screw up with the quarterback, and now I'm going to draft another quarterback in the top 10 in
Jim,
two consecutive years.
I believe that is an organizational
decision. That's an organizational
decision.
One. Yep.
So I think he has no choice.
I thought about this too.
I think they're saying, hey, you got to give him at least a shot. You got to at least try for a year. We won't hold it against you. You've got to at least try to make it work with the guy we drafted in the first round like a year ago. And if it doesn't, we'll consider going back into that good draft next year. The Cardinals are going to suck this year anyway, so they know they're going to have another good pick next year.
And I don't think this tells you about the quarterback class. I think this tells you that Elway doesn't trust himself to draft a quarterback.
Right.
Don, the big Don,
the
right?
The Don.
He doesn't trust himself. He was successful by going to get an old guy in Manning. Now he's going to try to recreate that and get an old guy in Flacco who's not even close to what Manning was.
He's serviceable, though. Better than what they've had.
I think Flacco can play better than what they've had.
Serviceable. So, hey, this leaves what? And by the way, the Giants are out on Kyler Murray. They've already said he's too short.
Okay.
They're not touching him. And you know what? I don't blame them for that because he is too short. But that now leaves What? Miami needs a quarterback? What if they don't like Kyler Murray? Right. Where is he falling to?
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song. Oh.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Play fake. Goff in the pocket. Yeah. Dancing. Pumps. He's under pressure. Goff rolling to his right. Being chased to the near side. Goff is going to be hit. Yeah. And down he goes. Kyle Van Noy closing in a hurry. Another sack in the playoffs.
Cash money play by number 53, Kyle Van Noy. Awful decision by Jared Goff.
All right, so Kyle Van Noy will check in with us in a couple of minutes. Hardy, you produce something for him when we get him on?
Oh, really?
Well, something?
The last time he came on, didn't he say something like, yeah, it's good to be on doing the Kyle Van Noy show?
Yeah, he calls it the KVN show.
Yeah, KVN show. Which I thought, it's a great idea, but all the slots are filled around here.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, we could.
Could.
Fund something.
If Kyle Van Noy wanted to do a show here.
Right.
Like Saturdays or Sundays.
Right.
Don't you think he could get that gig?
I like to dream bigger for Kyle Van Noy's sake.
We could do it like Meathead Radio, like me, him, and Ted Johnson. Just how about, like, hey, let's how do some football.
How about his own radio station is what I'm talking about.
He could probably buy one.
He probably...
What's full share? Tip 10?
Depending on...
210,000?
Depending on the market.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Idaho Falls, maybe. Well, be able to buy one.
Right.
But yeah, we have... I put together some imaging for him should he decide to just go ahead and pull the trigger and not forget about his own show, just do his own radio station.
Yeah. WKVN.
It's Kyle Van Noy Radio. Now, again,
I'm not crazy about that one.
Well, this is going to have to be if the, it's
is
W.
It like an oldie station or something? Wait, based on sort of that.
No.
It's hokies.
Well, yeah, very hokey and like a. Like,
well, you
like
hear Midwestern. You hear what like Frances's old
hold on,
station
he's
did
on
New
hold.
York.
Let's welcome him in. All right, let's welcome him in on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. It's Patriots linebacker Kyle Van Noy. Kyle, great to talk to you again.
What's going on, baby? We back.
Yeah, don't forget where it all got started.
I mean,
for you. Yeah, I mean, I know you're everywhere now.
You've gone Hollywood. I see you all over the place now. ESPN, NFL Network, Barstool,
Pizza Review.
You're all over the place.
Hey. Shit happens.
Yeah, don't dump that.
So we were just discussing, you've come on before and you've called it the KVN show. Hardy has put together some imaging for you to maybe just go ahead and pull the trigger on having your own radio station altogether.
Yeah, we did the first one
Dang,
here.
For real?
Yeah, we're going to listen to it.
The KVN show is live today. I'm trying to wake everybody up on this Wednesday and get going, baby.
All right, well,
Wednesday, we got to get pumped and juiced.
Well, Kyle, let me be a life coach here for you. Dream bigger. Your own show. How about your own radio station? We're going to call it
WKVN.
WKVN. So you're going to be relegated to east of the Mississippi. Mississippi. But still, it's your own radio station, WKVN.
I like that, but I don't think I like that voice.
I don't either. I think it's hokey. It sounds like an oldie station.
Okay,
it's like BYU radio.
It's like an oldie station or something. It's just
BYU radio. Please no.
That's why
it's not fresh. I'll tell you that.
Okay, that's why we have multiple versions depending on the style of the radio station.
WKVN. Sports Talk.
Ooh, I like that.
It sounded like I was on an adult channel radio station
there. Okay, all right. So maybe we marry the two together then.
WKVN.
There you go. It has sort of a spaceship sound to it.
There's a lot of different images it conjures up, Kyle. I think one of those should be able to work.
I kind of do like the last one. It gets you a little bit of everything. It gets the high of the highs and the lows of the lows, baby.
That's right. Okay, good. We've settled on one. That'll be the one.
All right, man. You've been doing a circuit now since you guys won the game. Victory lap, let's call it for what it is. But at what point during that game, and maybe it was the game plan going into it, did you know that as a linebacking core, and going back and watching some of that stuff with Hightower in the middle and how he was just jacking guys and what you did off the edge, when did you know you could physically just pound this team and it pound them into submission?
Honestly, we always knew we were physical. We just didn't know. Obviously, you want to give people credit. They've been playing really well all year and been running the ball down people's throats. So we knew that that was going to be a challenge, but we thought they haven't faced anybody like us that were able to do different things that played against a tough, hard-nosed D-line and then a linebacking core with my brother Hightower, man. That's my guy. We feel like we're the best at what we do, me and my guy High. I know obviously everyone cares about stats and stuff, but if you look at games, me and my guy do some damage together. And it's awesome to play with someone like that. I think he is one of the best. Obviously, he doesn't talk much. He's kind of like Steph. He I'll do the talking for him.
But that's why you're on.
Really good. Yeah. He's really good at what he does, and I'm happy to be on his team, and I'm happy to play on the defense that I'm on. Great group of guys, and we just physically dominated that game from start to finish.
You know, there's been a story out there the last couple of days related to Brian Hoyer.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. Go ahead.
How do you think I've been doing on the big stages, like your big stage? You think I do okay on your radio stations and
I'm just interested.
Pizza review?
I haven't seen the pizza review yet. I'm looking forward to seeing that pizza review.
They sent you on Excel, didn't they?
Hey, did you see my Wikipedia change?
Yes, we saw it. Yes.
Who did that?
I don't know. I got two sons now. I think that's pretty funny.
I think you're getting rave reviews. No matter, regardless of the platform or the medium, I think people have enjoyed seeing more of you and hearing more from you lately.
Well, I've always been like this, though, so it's kind of is weird because I feel like I've been like this since I've gotten here. I guess just more people have noticed, maybe.
I don't know.
Win the Super Bowl, and there's more eyes, and there's more ears, and more opportunities.
You got a good balance, though. It's almost like Bears is just sitting there listening right now. Going over with a fine tooth comb. Like, do you worry about?
Well, no, that's my guy. That's legend. Bears knows what's good for him. I call Bears legend.
Why do you call him legend?
My guy. It's just the perfect name for him, man. If you see him, you're like, man, his name's legend.
And Shaughnessy, one of our guys we have in, Shaughnessy did an article on him. It's like the guy you always see with Bill, but you don't know his name. And you got to go through him to get the Bill.
Yeah, he's the legend for that.
Yeah. Hey, calling that game, I set it up in the booth. Now I'm not down there on the field. I thought Goff looked scared. Did you see any point? Yeah. You play against a bunch of different type of quarterbacks.
I was going to ask
did he have that scared look in
before
his eyes?
Before Zoe hijacked us here.
Sorry.
I was going to say the Brian Hoyer story that's been out the last couple of days, Brian picked up on some of the language and watching, and how much of a help was that? How much, how much confidence does that give you having even better of an understanding of the team you're going to go up against? And I think he sort of indicated that
lack of blitz package.
He likes it because he feels that when he can help a defense know more about the other team, you can play faster. There's less thinking involved. And you could just sort of be aggressive and be who you want to be. Agree? Disagree? What do you think?
I got a loogie in my mouth. Hold on. Oh, man.
Got a roofie in your mouth?
Oh.
A
loogie. Sorry, man. All
right. Sorry, get that up.
Roofling?
Yeah, that was bad. Oh, man. Sorry about that.
We got to clean this up before the station launch. I got to be honest. Yeah,
you said I had a roofie in my mouth.
Yeah. All right. We cleaned it up.
The game's over, man. Look, yeah. We're moving on to seven, baby.
Seven's magic number.
I didn't really talk to B. Hoy about the game plan and kind of all that to what other guys did. I was kind of just, I'm more of like, I need to just see what the defense is trying to do. And then I want to know what my assignment is, because if I know what my assignment is, I'm not worried about anything else I see. I know if I do my assignment, I know the next guy is going to do his assignment, and I know what he's supposed to do because I know what everyone's doing. So I just play fast like that. So I think he did give great points about,
the insides and outs of what Sean McVay was doing, and I think it helped a bunch of guys. I think it helped the back end a lot because they knew kind of what the schemes were.
Did he play in that regards. Yeah, did he play a good Jared Goff in practice?
Oh, yeah. He did a really good job.
Wide-eyed, huh? Wide-eyed.
Yeah. Wide-eyed and running around.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took a couple hits in practice, too. He took off the jersey for a little bit, so he got to tee off on B. Hoy for a little bit.
Nice.
Can you believe that?
Making murder's money.
Nice.
Yeah, man, he didn't get hit all year.
Nah, I'm playing.
I know.
There's no way they would let that happen.
Yeah, walk through.
Yeah. Hey, but no, I feel like he did a good job of letting, you know, the secondary know and kind of aligning what their schemes were with blocking and being able to say, like, if they see this front, they're going to try to block it this way. So I feel like that was beneficial to guys that needed it.
Hey, you got a veteran linebacking core. You have some veterans back there in the back end that you talked about. Obviously, you guys all knew that Brian Flores was leaving after that game. Now, there are a lot of coaches that have departed this staff, and Greg Schiano gets anointed defensive coordinator right away, gets the title. What are your thoughts on that? You lose a guy like Brendan Daly. You know, he's going to KC. You're going to have a lot of new coaches on this staff.
Yeah. In all joking, I like BD, but I want to be like, you traitor.
Well, his wife's from there. I mean, like, if your wife can go back home, I mean, and you could get paid
know,
more
I'm,
money.
I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm happy for him. He gets to be closer to his family and whatnot. I think that's really cool for him. Happy for him. Got an opportunity, so it's understandable. You know, I don't know necessarily what to say too much. You know, I put my trust in in Bill. You know, in Bill we trust. I trust he's made the right decision since I've been here. So I can't falter on going, you know, this way or that way. I just don't know I don't know much about Greg Schiano. So I can't really say. I've heard, you know, from the grapevine that his players at Ohio State liked him, and the Rutgers players are big fans of him. So that's as much as I know of him. So
the McCourties have said he's
with a clean. I'm going to go in with a clear mind.
But it's almost like you guys got to almost teach him the way. I mean, you got enough veterans now that have been here and won at a high level, and won the whole damn thing to where, you know, he's got to adapt to what you guys do. Too,
I mean, he's got a reputation. Schiano, that is, has a reputation to being a real hard ass when he was at Tampa Bay.
Bill's hard.
And the McCourties said that he was worse to play for than Bill Belichick when they had him at Rutgers.
Nice.
So you might
they
have a.
They
did.
Yeah.
Devin said that.
You better have
back.
All the fun now, Kyle.
Devin did an interview.
Hey, D-Mac.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have fun anymore.
So Devin said that in an interview a couple of years ago. He was asked, who is harder to play for? And he said, oh, it's Schiano. He said Schiano's harder
that's
to play
crazy.
For than Belichick. So that's,
well, I feel like college in general is harder. They do crazy stuff. I was talking about it the other day with one of my homeboys back home, and we were talking about the workouts we did. Oh my gosh! Like, it's like crazy looking back at what we did then to what I do now. I would think I had it hard in college too. Playing for Bronco was no joke either.
Hey,
I could see that.
You had you got two full shares now. You know, three straight Super Bowls you've been to. I don't want to mention last year, but you lost the game, but you get the loser's share. You made some money, you know, postseason wise, last 3 years. You doing anything with the money? Like, you doing anything special with that money? Like doing anything with BYU?
Well, No. I pay my tithing, so my church tithing that goes to the school already. What I usually do is I use that for a little bit of traveling, and then I try to invest. You know, my goal is to be a philanthropist when I'm done playing. I want to have a huge portfolio. I want to be that guy you look at as when you look at to after football's done and say, dang, like that dude did it right with his money, his time, his energy. He put all his energy into football, but he also set himself up for life after. That's what I want to be known for. And a good person, too.
Any shot you get an extension this offseason?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I hope so. You know, it's all a matter of time. You know, time will tell. You guys know how I feel about playing here and Pats Nation. I hope they know how I feel about being here, and my teammates know about how I feel about here. But, you know, it's all part of the man upstairs plan, and whatever happens, happens type of deal. You just got to smile and roll, baby.
Did Max Kellerman kiss your ass off air when you met him?
Who's that?
we know where you were. Yeah.
On Wikipedia, he's my pet parrot. he got what he wanted. He got me on the show. Yeah. I know I was there for, you know, a bunch of different things, but right. They knew what they were doing, putting me on the show.
Sure.
He got what he wanted. I got what I wanted. You know, now we can stop talking about him and keep it moving.
All right. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're enjoying the offseason.
Because we're giving him too much
right.
love.
Right. You're getting him the clicks. Don't do it anymore. Patriots fans are pissed you guys went on with it.
It's amazing, though. The Wikipedia page hasn't changed yet. I guess in order for it to change, somebody has to either complain or, more importantly, prove it to be untrue. And nothing here, really. It's hard to prove it untrue.
Right. And who wants to change that anyway?
Nobody wants to change
it. You know my two sons aren't going to change that. They know better.
All right. So
Mikey and Tony.
Is there any?
I might let them go out and play today. Depends how it feels.
All right. Well, hey, it sounds like
they're on time. They're on timeout. You guys okay up there?
Let them out of the box.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, Kyle. It sounds like you're enjoying the offseason at this point, though. I'm sure it's probably going to wind down for you here in a couple of days.
You know I enjoy it. No days off to off days. Woo.
Yeah. Hey, is there any push like within the group of guys on this team to try and keep it together and come back next year? Because I know that there's a lot of guys that their futures are sort of uncertain, whether it be contract stuff or Devin and Rob Gronkowski.
Hightower's number.
They're considering retirement. And there's just a lot of things in play between now and the start of next season.
Trey Flowers.
I mean, is there a general feeling, though, of wanting to try and keep this together, this group together? Because obviously you guys came together as a group in a very important way over the last couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to, but unfortunately it's not up to me. I would love to, because I know what those guys are capable of. I know what they are going to do each and every day, and I love going to work with them. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing to say that group has won two out of the last three, and some of them have been there four of the last five. So it's really impressive, and, you know, honestly, I'm just happy to be a part of it and be a part of the group of guys that I'm with. They're really an amazing group of guys, and you know, I hope we can keep it together. But you know, if not, I know that they're going to be successful in whatever they do. They're really, really good players.
All right, Kyle, we appreciate all your time this
appreciate
year.
Appreciate it, man. Good stuff.
All the times you called us up, it was a lot of fun.
Are you sure you don't want to keep going?
You can call us every week. We will always take
every
call.
Week. You can come
got
in
our
studio.
Number. You can call anytime. You can come in studio anytime.
Yeah. Check it out. Yeah,
you don't even have to talk football.
I need people to miss me, man. I need people to miss me. So I think I'm gonna hang this one for a little bit.
Yeah. You can come
me.
In.
I'm gonna make you two miss me. You know, I'm gonna make you guys text me and say, will you come on today? I need that.
What do you watch outside of football for sports?
Me? I'm big basketball. I love basketball.
We could have you in. You could talk about the Celtics.
We go Celtic game together.
That would be kind of dope.
Yeah, you don't have to come in and talk about yourself.
I live in Santa Monica in the off season, man. I need to go to where it's warm, where you know the beach is, and
that's nice.
You know, I need to go get on my vegan diet, baby, and get it going. I need to get the beach bod for wifey.
Well, enjoy
right there at that marina. There's one of the best diners that I've ever eaten at. Right in that little Santa Monica pier. That there's a diner there. Smack in the middle where the boats are. Love it there.
There's really good food down there.
Good Good Mexican food.
Excellent. All right, till next time.
All right, bud.
Much love.
It's been real.
All right, the KVN show's on a break for a while.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Cal. Have a good offseason.
All right. Later. All right, bye.
Got a good show business sense.
WKVN.
It happens.
It's your voice. It's your voice. That just ding, ding. It's the high pitch Hardy that I think bugged him on that one.
I think they all bugged him a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
First one was really hokey. Like WKVN.
I don't know what the style is gonna be. You know? You think he's one way, you find out he's tithing to his church,
second. Little boom boom
you know,
pop.
You gotta find, you know, present him with some options.
I think he's open to everything. You know, you figure like, hey, it's gonna be a little hip hoppy, and then he's a Mormon.
Sure.
Obviously.
Yep.
So he's a good guy.
617-779-0985. Our thanks to Kyle Van Noy, not only for that, but for checking in all season long.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. Zo's got some thoughts on quarterbacks. Where did this come from? This quarterback thought of yours.
Yeah, just sitting around and, you know, the Kyler Murray, that discussion yesterday sort of triggers it as to, you know, where's the interest lie?
Yep.
Who needs him? Who wants him? And then, you know, where do the other guys fall in? You know, the kid from Oregon, the kid from Duke, the kid from NC State, the kid from Washington State, Wazoo, all that stuff. And where do those guys sort of, you know, in last year, the run started, what, 3 in the first 5 picks? It's not going to happen that way this year. I think there's two different sets of teams. So you sort of rank teams as to where they are as far as quarterback needs and classifications. Teams like, say, Jacksonville, Tennessee. We talked about the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
I think a team like Cincinnati looking to hit that reset and find their guy. So those are guys that are like, those are teams that are sort of desperately in need of a good quarterback. And then there's the next tier of teams. If these teams screw up and don't get their guy, meaning a Jacksonville, a Tennessee, you know, a Dolphin, or say even Cincinnati. You get teams like New England, teams like the Saints, teams like the Chargers, throw Pittsburgh in there. Not Green Bay. Green Bay, you know, you just guaranteed Aaron Rodgers all that money, but he ain't getting any younger either. Or one of those teams that have the aging quarterback sitting there saying, okay, here's a draft where quarterbacks really aren't top heavy in that first round. And if teams like Jacksonville and Miami and company don't jump on that guy tends to fall. If we're sitting there and we're around 20 to 25 or, say, New England there at 32 and somebody falls there, is this the year you jump on a guy because of the age of your quarterback without saying it? At some point, you got to start getting ready for the next guy. And I think this is the year where New England go and draft a guy. Not saying the Patriots are going to do that, but somebody could fall to New England at the bottom of that first round, gun to the head, you just might take that guy. Because of the age of your quarterback. Saints are in that same company. Pittsburgh's already there.
So you're saying that there's more teams that might be in on a quarterback than we think.
It's not just the desperate teams. You know, the desperate teams like Jacksonville that need the guy to get into it. Baltimore just traded their guy. He's got 3 years, $65 million left. You really want that tag?
He's going to rework his deal.
Yeah, he has to
rework his deal. According to Rap Sheet.
I guess. In essence, they flipped Demaryius Thomas for Joe Flacco. They got him for a fourth-round pick. So there may be actually more teams that are quietly lying there in the weeds because they have an aging quarterback that are thinking, okay, quarterback might be in need this year, even though we have our guy and we have an older veteran. We might be looking.
So the way that the Patriots did it with Jimmy Garoppolo, granted, that's in the third round, not the first.
Well, Jimmy was second.
Oh, sorry, second round.
Yeah.
What number pick was he?
He was like 30.
64, 65.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Late second, end of second. So, is a team going to waste? I shouldn't say waste. Wrong word. Is a team going to spend a first round pick if they're one of those teams?
No, but I think you're in as a two, like the David.
Like the Patriots' first round pick is essentially second round. You know, once you get out of that top 30,
this could be one of those drafts where you look at when Garoppolo and David Carr went in the second round, like second round to the Raiders, second round to New England. This could be where that could be the money spot for quarterbacks in this
Carr
draft.
Carr went in the second.
I think Carr went in the second round.
What number was he? Do you remember?
He was in the 30s.
He was ahead of Jimmy.
Jimmy was 62, to be exact.
Yeah.
62, 30s for Carr. Patriots, it could be that all over again.
Patriots have a first-round pick. They got 2 twos. They got 2 threes. They're stocked for picks right there.
They're going to have 3 threes after compensations, the compensatory formula. They're probably going to have 1-1, 2 twos, and 3 threes.
And you can move those picks now, right?
Yeah. And if you target a guy and he, in essence, is falling at the bottom of that first round, he's sitting there at the top of the second, you may be able to slide up to get your guy there like you did with Garoppolo 4 or 5 years ago. That's all.
617-779-0985. You've been hanging on. I want to get back to your calls. Adam's in the car. Hi, Adam.
Hey.
Thank you.
Oh.
Adam, we'll go back to you. Let's go to Zach in Connecticut. Hey, Zach.
Hey, two quick points you guys make about. First one being, I think the Patriots need to do whatever they can to get Kyler Murray because it at least guarantees us one more Super Bowl from Brady. We only have so many years before that trip will stop working because he'll be close to 45. Yep. Second thing, real quick. If Mike Tomlin was the coach of the Boston Bruins, how would he have handled Pasternak's injury? Thanks for hanging up with
us. Pretty much like yesterday.
It was a bit of a Mike Tomlin explanation that the Bruins gave.
David Pasternak went out with his teammates to dine and drink due to a company dinner. He proceeded to follow his teammates to the point of pickup of transportation.
What did Sweeney call it? Sweeney called it the walking to meet their transportation point? Is that what he called it?
Walking to their point of transportational pickup. It was so freaking detailed.
The transportation point.
He subluxated the external digit of his thumb, which then touched the back of his hand, which then proceeded to need to detach ligament A, was taken out of a cadaver and sewn in. He will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. I think you do better Tomlin than me.
Yeah.
According to me, at about 11:30, as some of his teammates were walking to meet their transportation location.
Transportation location.
Transportation
the
location.
The old transportation location. Gets him again. Sam is in Roxbury. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
By the way, love the show.
Thank you.
Quick question for you. I know that there's been a lot of back and forth with the Celtics, and I know sometimes we say they're good, sometimes we say they're bad. I'm wondering what team in the East do you think could take them out in a 7-game series? Obviously.
Not Philly. I don't think it's Philly. That. It ain't Philly.
Any
so how they match up with how they match
not,
up with
has not won 2 games against them. We all have split a game with Milwaukee. We split a game with Toronto. Mm-hmm. I just don't see a team that's really going to beat us.
Well, you got the second half here to get your tailing gear. You know, you got a stretch run here, and that's why I think it's imperative that Kyrie gets right. You got a nice little time here where you could say, make sure that knee's right because you're going to come out like gangbusters when we tip this thing off and we come back from the break. They're not a bad team.
No, absolutely.
Nobody's saying they're a bad team.
I hate to be that guy,
but
I've been a green teamer, but at the same time, I also say we have not lived up to the expectation, but it almost seems like there is no team that I really think could dominate them.
Well, listen, Sam, to say who could beat them, Toronto could beat them. Could they not?
I know it's not Philly. Philly can't beat them. You can't answer for anybody else.
Philly's a weird one, man, because they should be able to compete, and they just,
Imagine, Brad, you hear
continue to lose to this team.
Philly's coach went on and on after that game, and he sounds just like John Farrell, like making up stuff, and this is the reason, and, well, we should have done this or done this, and goes on and on and on. I wonder what Brad Stevens, how he would fare with that team, Philly. How would he get that?
I think that we fought back into the game. The third period went our way at the start. It was the Celtics' way the last, 5 minutes, I think it was. Then it toggled back and forth, and then we found an extra gear, I think, the last few minutes. There's a physicality that you have to play with to beat them. And, you know, you're reminded of that. They do a really good job of going at mismatches. You know, we could all see sort of the difficulty at times that we had guarding some of the physicality of them trying to post us.
It's John Farrell. It just goes on and on and on. Well, I think
there's a little Christopher Walken in there.
Yeah.
So, listen, to go back to what Sam was talking about, Toronto could beat them, and why couldn't Milwaukee beat them? They're having a better year this year, and they took you to seven games a year.
Yeah, Bucks.
It was a seven-game series. So, who
can? I just know it ain't that team and that coach.
You might not feel like there's anybody out there that's a dominant team in the East that no one can get through, but that's not to say you can't lose. I don't know where that level of confidence comes from right now, but we'll see. We'll see.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.